And welcome, Rugby Rant fans. It's the Rugby Rant episode 95. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrari. That's Rob the Hammer Hammersmith, baby. Rob, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. Unfortunately, a weekend of COVID shut us out, my wife and I, from making the trip down to New Orleans. It was going to be the inaugural trip, and it's going to take my wife with me, and we unfortunately weren't there. And, of course, Nola Goat put on a show this weekend. So
Well, that's because you weren't there, Rob. You're the mush.
Probably. Yeah, you know, but it was – you know, it is what it is. We'll get down there next season.
So real quick, though, tell me about that hat, brother.
Oh, man, this is a great hat. This is the Rugby Rant hat, of course, from courtesy of American Rugby Outfitters, available on – it is www. Of course, you don't need to say that anymore, do we? It's rugbygear.com, right? And if you go into the team section, slide down Rugby Rant, we have our own shop, and this is – the fitted hat, which has the flex fit, which is real comfortable. It fits big heads, it fits little heads, and all those heads that are in between. And nice big logo, so we show it off. I like it. I'm digging this hat. I wear it quite a bit. I like the black. Goes with everything.
Absolutely. And if you use the code RANT25 through the end of May, you get 25% off all your Rant gear. Go check it out. We got t-shirts, we got hoodies, we got golf shirts, we got the fitted hats, man. A ton of great stuff. Love repping the Rugby Rant. You guys should too.
And but real quick, we've been sending some players a few bits just to, you know, say thanks and and to get the name out there a little bit. And we saw Carmeyer last week wearing the Rugby Rant shirt, and from what I understand, we have Chris Robshaw coming up in a couple weeks. He will not be wearing it on the show because of requirements by the team, but he is gonna get a picture or video of him wearing the gear, so you can be like Chris Robshaw and Carl Meyer.
That's awesome. And right now we're gonna get to our Around the Pitch segment. Yeah. And I'm going to kick off the Around the Pitch. I mean, we already kind of knew, unfortunately, by the time episode 94 dropped, the news was out that the United States was awarded the 2031 Men's World Cup and the 2033 Women's World Cup. It's official. The United States has won that bid. You know, it's what else could we say? I mean, it's something that me and Rob were so happy that we could get. I mean, it even got support from President Joe Biden as far as sending, you know, letters to World Rugby about the bid. A big group of big names here in the States create a bid committee to send that bid. And obviously they did a stellar job for getting that bid. And just some of the cities that they talked about here, they actually have a long list of cities that wanted to pursue the opportunity to host matches. Atlanta, Georgia, Austin, Texas, Baltimore, Maryland, Birmingham, Alabama, Boston, Massachusetts, Charlotte, North Carolina, Chicago, Illinois, Dallas, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Glendale, Arizona, Houston, Texas, Kansas City, Missouri, Los Angeles, California, Miami, Florida, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Nashville, Tennessee, New Orleans, Louisiana, New York, and New Jersey, Orlando, Florida, Philadelphia, PA, Pittsburgh, PA, San Diego, California, San Francisco, Bay Area, Seattle, Washington, and Washington, D.C. That's a great list.
Yeah, and it's, you know, think about the pure numbers of cities that are interested in hosting, you know, some of the matches, pool play, et cetera. It gives you the idea that really the Rugby World Cup will be a big deal. Absolutely. And, you know, in 9 years' time, it will be a big deal. There's a lot of interest, and hopefully we see the kind of growth that the MLS saw after the 1994 Soccer World Cup. It would obviously put rugby on the map, put the United States rugby on the map for sure. So my around the pitch, you know me, I like my collegiate rugby for obvious reasons, if you're familiar with the show. But the collegiate rugby sevens down there in Kennesaw, Georgia, I think it was Kennesaw University, that had a really nice pitch, nice facility, crowned two champions, one of them not new. Lindenwood Ladies beat Life 32-0. This is, I think, the fourth year in a row.
Grudge match.
And yeah, grudge match. And of course, Lindenwood had a four-peat. Really nice job. had a gave up a total of 7 points, scored at least in pool play a total of 112 points. So quite a run for the Linwood Lions ladies team. And new champion down there, Linwood was defeated by Life University. This is a rivalry. Once again, I think they played each other in the final for the last 4 years. This was a great match. If you hadn't had a chance to go and check it out, you can go to Peacock, I believe. But 24-19, Linwood was down 17-0 going into the second half, and I thought all hope was lost. Al Preston was up in his room. He couldn't bear to watch. And sure enough, his roommate, Reese Smith, came back. Cheers to Reese. Good on you, mate. Scored the try to tie it up. Evan Williams got the drop kick to for the extras. That was awesome. And then just, you know, sevens is what it is. They gave up a try with an attempt to chip and chase, and it got knocked down. And Life, you know, good on them. They played a hell of a game, and they scored one to win it in a sudden death. But a great, great weekend of rugby for sure.
Absolutely. I'm going to piggyback on that because this is what I found interesting in my next around the pitch topic. Zach Test and Ben Pinkelman, USA 7 coaches, were there scouting the men's and the women's side for future players to get on the Eagle squad. I'm sure they're also scouting for the Falcons too. They talked about how there was a void almost after the 2020 Olympics because you had a mix of, older players, a mix of younger players. The older players, we saw some people hang up their boots, Abby Gustitis, being one of the women to do that, So I think they realize that they need to come into the next Olympic cycle and start getting that young talent ready. Obviously, we're not going to see that young talent be ready for France this weekend, but I think they're seeing the forest of the trees and coming to the collegiate rugby sevens to watch them. That's a great way to scout. It's now showing players, hey, we could show up there. And this is a pathway to get to the sevens team.
Absolutely. As well as should be. I mean, it's one of the collegiate pathway is something that has played a minor role. And now with the MLR draft, it's kind of taken a front seat, if you will, to bigger and higher honors. And hopefully more eyes on the collegiate game will bring more money into the collegiate game, which can see an expansion of the collegiate game, and maybe we'll get more competition, not just the Lifes and the Linwoods perennially, but some other teams make a stand there. It would be great to see for sure. We're going to move from sevens to the 15s game a little bit. And we're just talking about numbers. My next around the pitch is, of course, we've been on it almost each week because as each week we have a new member of the 50 Cap Club. And I like this list is interesting because we've had players and we've had multiple players and sometimes yes, players that are on the same team join. But this week we had an interesting mix. And this is why I love it. We have Coach Nate Osborne, NOLA and now OGDC. He has coached 50 matches. I don't know that we're going to see another coach get that honor for some time yet. Then we had Scott Green officiating 50 matches on the whistle. And it was cool. He was presented with a whistle and a cap. So you're going to see those now. And then a player, JP Smith, who I like this one because he played all 50 games with the same club, the Seattle Seawolves, and of course he won two MLR Shields with Seattle. So that makes it pretty special on my mind that he's played all 50 games with one team. Not that he's the only guy that's in that, in this club that's done that, but it certainly makes it special for a guy who's achieved as much as he has with Seattle.
Absolutely. And honestly, I think this is one of our favorite parts is talking about the guys who are stalwarts who we know from day one have been playing in this game and been either they've been a part of their team the entire time, or they've split teams in almost dramatic fashion. And, we're seeing players who've won the Shield, who haven't won the Shield, who've come close to winning the Shield. And now we've finally got our first coach and our first official. That's really awesome. So I'm moving on to my next topic, and I'm talking about women's rugby. We had the last week of Premier 15s. It was the regular season finale. And here are some takeaways. Exeter beat Bristol 29-26. All 29 of Exeter's points were scored by North Americans. Think about that.
I almost spit out my coffee.
Yeah, Kate Zachary, Janine Dedevaux, Gabby Corturna, Emily Totosi from Canada. They scored all 29 points. I mean, that's it's.
So there's hope for North American rugby and the Women's World Cup coming up here in the fall. I think folks should listen to Scott's list. He's been on this for a number of weeks talking about the women's, the U.S. women's team and the training team, as well as Team Canada. You know, look through the list and pay attention to those names, because there's a lot of tremendous talent that's going to be playing this fall.
And real quick, one more. Saracens did a come-from-behind win against the Wasps.
Yeah.
Canadian winger Alicia Corrigan started the comeback just before halftime. And our girl, Alev Kelter, scored the match winner really late in the game and also kicked for three conversions. And Rob's going to show you a clip here. And that's 11 in the middle while the Saracens girls are doing their Tiki Tonga celebration dance in the locker room. Being a Saracens fan, it made my day, man.
Warmed your heart, huh?
Absolutely. I love it.
My last around the pitch here. You know, we just had the City Edition jerseys from a lot of teams. And there were some really, really cool City Edition jerseys. And it's good to see a lot of money being raised for various causes around the league. But with that in mind, of course, I didn't bid on a jersey. It was a little too pricey for my blood, but I have the NOLA blood t-shirt on to celebrate the fact that, you know, Scott started with the World Cup announcement. It's kind of interesting that coincidentally, maybe, there was announced in NOLA.com that the state of Louisiana, who owns the Shrine of the Airliner, what's now called the Gold Mine, is planning on doing an update. And the update would increase the seating capacity by two. So it'd be 20,000 seats. It would be reconfigured, so you're getting stands on both sides. There's a great graphic here. Okay. And it would be able to accommodate soccer and rugby. And I think they're thinking that potentially there's going to be some kind of, professional soccer being played in the pitch. What does that mean? Well, I think in connecting the dots with some of those cities Scott spoke of, you know, there's the New Orleans has put in a bid. Now you not only have the Superdome that can host, you know, your major tier one nations, but then, you know, the Gold Mine could certainly host some of those lower tier nations and host a pool all in one city. So it certainly makes a bid for New Orleans all that much more possible.
Absolutely. And check out those city landscape jerseys. I know a lot of them look cool. Rooney did something different. They went with their black on black neighborhoods jersey, which they do every year now as a neighborhoods jersey. Each of the hoops have all the neighborhoods of the five boroughs with a black on black and a nice on the shoulder. They got the subway system. And then on the lower half of it, it says RNY in the subway letters. Really cool jersey. So bid on all those jerseys. Get your favorite player's game worn jersey. It's going to a good cause. And we're going to take a short break before we get to our rant.
Tighthead Brewing Company is not just Chicago's premier location to watch rugby and enjoy quality ales and lagers. It is also a great place to enjoy local acts performing live music every Thursday and Saturday nights. Additionally, their Wednesday night trivia nights are something not to be missed. Tighthead is located in Mundelein, Illinois, and easily accessible for many Chicagoans, as it is just steps away from the metro. Owner Brewster and the Tighthead staff are dedicated to ensure your microbrew experience is as tight as their beers. Bruce's love for rugby extends beyond the origin of his brewery's name. Tighthead is committed to supporting the rugby community. This includes his support for Lake County RFC and our own Rugby Rant podcast show. Tighthead's tap room is like the familiar rugby clubhouse in which friends and teammates can meet, socialize, and enjoy the wide variety of brews on tap. Regardless of whether your palate enjoys a good IPA or dark barrel-aged brew, Tighthead can deliver. Hey, Chicago, when you want rugby, Tighthead Brewing Company will satisfy your thirst. Tighthead, it's worth more than a try.
And welcome back, Rugby Rant fans. We just had our Around the Pitch, and now we're going with our Rugby Rant segment on our, we'll call it the All Canada episode 95 here. We have our buddy Derek Brissett. Derek, how you doing?
Oh, man, doing really good. I'm super psyched that you guys invited all the Canadians on to talk about the biggest moment in American rugby history. But
I know it's interesting, but we have kind of a way we're going to go about it. And Derek is already fired up. He already did his this week's episode of La Rouge Rugby Podcast. Check that out on Spotify, Apple, anywhere you get podcasts. And we have back again one of our favorite Canadian fans, Doug Wilkie. How you doing?
I'm good, guys. Good to be back.
Nice. And again, Doug is one of the admins.
Don't worry, I'll wake up.
Yeah, he'll be good. He's
just
trying,
so you know everybody knows, Doug day. Is always trying to recruit somebody to be his neighbor up by his lake home. So, you know, just pay attention to Doug's posts, and he might give you an opportunity to visit Canada and be his neighbor.
All you need is a cool million for that little shack.
There you go.
What?
Prices are great here in Canada.
That's crazy. But Dougie's a little tired. I mean, he works all day. He coaches high school rugby in the afternoon. He has two crazy, amped up kids. I'm sure, you know, the first time I meet him, I'm trying to feed him sugar just to ruin Doug's day. But Doug is one of the admins for the Arrows.
The big guy's that kind of uncle.
Yeah, I am that kind of uncle. The Arrows Up, which is the Toronto Arrows rugby club or rugby fan club. And again, I think Derek and Doug probably fourth, fifth, sixth time on the show. And of course, you guys remember Rob from our last segment. Unfortunately, he stuck with us. There was no power outage or, you know, anything like that. So,
hey, rugby fans, once again, thank you for tuning in and watching us here on the Rugby Rant Podcast Show. As a friendly reminder, what we do here can certainly not be done week after week without the help of some great partners, one of which deserves a highlight here with Shop MLR, now powered by RugbyNow.com. They are certainly the leaders when it comes to everything Major League Rugby related for you as the fan. So make sure you go and check them out today at shopmlr.com. And their deliveries may ship the very same day, and you could have your kit ready for the next game day.
I think Derek alluded to it. So this is the topic. Obviously, last week, before our episode 94 aired, World Rugby had their vote in Dublin on who was getting the next couple Rugby World Cups. I believe it was England's getting the women's in 2025. Then Australia gets 27 and 29. And then the U.S. gets 2031 for the men's and 2033 for the women's. So the question today on our All Canada episode is, since the U.S. won the bid, are you surprised it wasn't a North American selection? You know, I'm sure there's many variables. I'm sure there was multiple bids. I know, you know, the U.S. had their own big committee to do it, and I wouldn't be surprised if we heard that there was a North American bid to do it, just, you know, because you want to play all your cards in that hand. We're going to go around, starting with Derek. I want the Canadians' perspective first. Two reasons, because I want to hear it. Second reason, I want you to waste all the topics so Rob has nothing to say. Derek, what do you got to say, brother?
Well, I think first, I'm not surprised. The last time, Scott, the last time you had me on your show, we were talking about the high performance review, which if you haven't gone back to listen to that episode again, it's to sum it up really quickly, it was not good. Based on the state of Rugby Canada, Rugby Canada just hired a new CEO in Nathan Bombries, which he brings an unreal rugby resume. And I think there's a lot of reason to be excited about him joining Rugby Canada. But he hasn't even officially taken over yet. It's still Jamie Levchuk is still serving as the interim CEO until Bombries arrives later in this summer. So I think there's still obviously a lot of transition happening for Rugby Canada as far as the governance level goes, right? So for all those reasons, it's to just sum it up really quickly, it's I'm not too surprised that this bid just was a USA bid and not a joint North American one. And just because of the state of Rugby Canada at this point in time, right? With both with the fact that the men's team currently is not going to be playing in a World Cup, at least with the next one, right? Plus, you know, all the administrative and issues that have been facing the organization, and they're just the overarching change that is going to be coming to Rugby Canada right now. I was not surprised. I know Patrick Johnston, who's at Rising Action on Twitter, he mentioned that, you know, he believes that there's Rugby Canada and Rugby USA or USA Rugby have had some talks about hosting say, a match or something to that effect in the World Cup. And obviously the venues and the cities that are hosting individual games haven't been finalized yet. So perhaps there's some possibility that, you know, Canada gets a game in a pool stage or maybe a pre-tournament game or something to that effect. But ultimately, no, I was not surprised to see that it was all USA and not a joint North American bid.
And, you know, the funny thing about Nathan Bombry's American running rugby Canada.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's from Michigan, played yeah.
Syracuse.
Yeah,
he played Orange. Syracuse, yeah. I found that an interesting tidbit you were talking about. Since we're talking about all things American, it's funny. I think Derek's right. The last time we brought Derek on was to talk about how terrible Rugby Canada is doing. And now we're saying they missed out on Rugby World Cup, not only in 2023, but in 2031, yeah. As far as maybe getting a city. So hopefully next time we bring Derek on, it'll be under a little more joyous circumstances. But no, I think you're right. I think, because they're in flux and in transition, maybe it's not the best time for them to try and, put together a bid when they had, issues. They had players coming, speaking out about their high performance teams and issues they're having with coaches and administrators. Trying to figure out if Langford is still the best place to house Rugby Canada, as a training center and a home. So I think with all those questions up in the air and those several, I think there's, two or three dozen questions that report asked, I could see why you would think, it wouldn't be in the cards for them right now. But I want to hear what Doug Wilkie has to think.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me either. Let's be honest, in the North American pond, the USA is the big fish. And that is the market that the World Rugby wants to corner. And we just happen to, hopefully we can follow along on the coattails, I'd say. I don't think it would have been even possible to be a major part of the bid, but I'm still hopeful that there may be something happening, like Derek said, hosting a few games. It makes sense to me to have Canada play in Canada, because I think we could possibly play those games in a large stadium. Whereas if those games are held, and this is assuming Canada qualifies, of course, but if those games are held in the States, that might be a game that you can't really play in one of the major stadiums. But maybe if it's held in Canada, you can definitely create much more revenue and sell out, BC Place or something to that effect. So maybe Nathan Bombry was brought in partially to help, an American, bring an American to the table to help maybe with some of that negotiation to have a few games up in Canada.
That's interesting, because I would think the ideal result for both, Rugby Canada and USAR, obviously they're going to be in different pools when they make their America's 1 and 2qualification. So pool play for Rugby Canada should be in Canada for those other, five teams, or four teams plus Canada. And then obviously the Americans pool play is in the States, and then you have the other pool play in the States as well. But at least, Canada will get those four matches, against those other teams, and at least say, maybe you're not getting the semifinals, the quarterfinals and stuff like that, but you got four matches I think enough at this point with everything, so much logistics. I think four matches would have been ideal, having the bid that way. And maybe that's something that's still being negotiated. I mean, they say it's a United States thing, but we're 9 years out. So who knows what those cities are? I mean, I mentioned them previously in our Around the Pitch segment. There's a lot of cities that have already submitted to get some of these matches. So maybe it's going to be not even, let's say, a specific stadium getting pool play. Maybe it's a region getting pool play and you're not playing at the same stadium every time.
Here's the way. Go ahead.
Oh, you're all yours, Doug.
I was just going to say, even if not having to wake up at 2 a.m. to watch a game, it in our time zones, yeah. I think it's going to be huge. So beggars can't be choosers. Even if it's all in the States, I'm all in. If it's in the summer, I'm a teacher, I'm off those 2 months. Man, I am traveling all over to the States to go to every game possible. So
listen, first of all, take the week off, Dougie.
I've got
by that time, I'm going to be retired. I don't care whether it's summer or not, I'm there. So I don't know when your retirement comes along, but you're welcome to stay at the Hammer's house anytime if you have the time of to come down in retirement and watch some matches.
You heard it here, folks.
Listen, I got to be
move on to the couch for me, and I'm going to
100%.
You're talking about the timing, and I'm already going, shit, I got to friggin' schedule a vacation for this one because I don't want to be at work.
Not me.
Yeah, I know. Well, again, how many times do you have to say it? You're old. When you were finishing playing rugby,
works in my favor this time.
Jesus was still a friggin' rookie when you were finishing your career.
I'm just shocked that USA Rugby doesn't hook you guys up with just free stuff now. So,
I mean, it's where do you ridiculous. Put that
complaint in?
I mean, well, that's, you know what the problem is. They're still asking me for my dues as a non-playing member because they need the money. So I don't think they're giving me free anything.
Hey, they got pay for some stadium.
My buddy David Fee hooked me up with a shirt, so I was happy about that.
Under 18s. You got an under 18 shirt.
No, it's training top.
Training top. Yeah.
Complete. You know what? It's probably from when Dave was on the Eagles 20 years ago.
I mean, it's too small for me, but no, I'm just kidding.
Anyway, the one voice we haven't heard from is the non-Canadian in the group, Hammer. Yeah. What do you think about this topic?
It's a voice that matters. Listen, it's a shame, but I'm not surprised. Hopefully in 9 years' time, they can negotiate something like what the Jet mentioned, which is to have a few matches, especially if they were Canadian Rugby Canada matches up in Canada. That would be awesome. But let's face the facts at this juncture. We have two unions that are having their own struggles independently, right? And for them to be able to organize a joint bid was a pretty big undertaking when you've got all these entities involved, and, you know, from World Rugby to this separate entity that's the, you know, called the American World Cup bid. And then you have, you know, USA Rugby, and then to ask Rugby Canada, which is a little bit in flux, to be involved in this. And you know, it's almost like too many, hands in the honeypot, if you will, at this juncture. But hopefully in 9 years' time, some negotiations could happen. It would be nice, as I said. But I think one of the things we got to realize is take a little bit more zoomed out approach, and that is visa and travel restrictions. If we were to, you know, reel back to 1987, it would be an entirely different thing getting across the border for people coming into the United States, you know, going back and forth, right? Wouldn't be nearly as difficult. But I think, you know, in this day and age, travel restrictions being what they are, you know, obviously we live in, you know, COVID's changed our mindset quite a bit. It makes it a little bit more difficult. Historically, look at some of the World Cups we're talking about. 2003, it's all Australian. You know, it wasn't a joint Aussie-New Zealand bid. 2011, all New Zealand. 2019, all Japan. You know, they weren't sharing any host cities. When do we see, you know, joint countries host? It's when it's in Europe, and the travel restrictions, given the European Union setting, a little bit easier to travel across borders there for people to go to different venues across borders. And I think that makes a big difference, right? One of the last things I think is important to remember is that, you know, some of those smaller nations like Wales can't host a World Cup by itself, right? It just doesn't have the venues, doesn't have the size. The U.S. does, right? So, I mean, Scott talked about it on Around the Pitch, 24 or something like that, 25 cities are thinking about putting bids in. I mean, you know, you only need five, maybe six. Japan, I think, had eight, but we have the infrastructure to do it. And put on a great show, and geographically they would be very spread out, which is going to make it difficult as it is to get, you know, for people to visit different venues.
Absolutely. And I think what people don't realize, and this is like a behind the scenes MLR thing, and maybe it's just some of us insiders know that specifically this year in the MLR in 2020, we're talking about 2022 right now, we're seeing teams that have to go play in Toronto can't bring players from other countries because of visa issues. So if it's hard for, let's say, South Africans to get into, it's serious though. It's a serious thing. If it's hard for South Africans to get into Canada, and you guys end up in like in 2019 where you were in a pool with South Africa, and then they have to go from the United States, you know, the Canada to the United States or vice versa, you know, I think it's going to be visa issues galore, and you know, we're seeing it right now. And it's funny, I still don't understand some of the visa issues sometimes when guys are coming off legitimate contracts from like Super Rugby and Premiership, and they have a piece of paper that said they got paid X amount to play rugby in their country on a contract that's legally binding. And the immigration judge goes, I don't understand. That's not proof enough that you're a professional rugby player. I don't know. It just seems magical to me that it's not as simple as just showing you the fact that I had a contract actually playing rugby somewhere else, and now I have a new contract. But anyway.
Is it visa issues though, or is it non-vaccinated players?
Yeah.
No, well, I mean, it's a visa issue, whether it's vaccinated, they didn't get the visa because they're vaccinated, or they're not getting the visa because
if we're dealing with COVID in 2031, you know, I will.
I was like, we're talking about the travel restrictions and stuff, man. I hope this is
gone. I'm just saying, you know, but it could also be, you know, some countries are on economic and other type of sanctions with certain countries, and it could throw you off, you know, as we see now, you know, with Russia and all their athletics are, you know, not being allowed to play, you know? So, and I'm not saying it's that drastic, but my point is, we're seeing it right now in the MLR, where guys are having a hard transition to go from the U.S. to Canada.
I remember, last season or the season before, Nick Feeks was changing his visa status because he was getting off his you know, student visa and going on and applying for, I think, whatever the visa number is or what it's called. And therefore, when Nolan went up to travel to Toronto, and he was playing quite well, by the way, so it had to have been 2 years ago, he wasn't allowed to travel, so he was left out of the mix for that one game.
Hopefully those issues are taken care of in the MLR by the 2030.
I feel that doesn't happen
in the NHL or
that's exactly it. I mean, obviously there's the temporary thing right now with like unvaxxed players in every league are, you know, dealing with that. If they got to play like the Raptors or Canadian NHL team or the Blue Jays are still doing that too, but it says like hopefully by the time the World Cup rolls around, hopefully that's gone. But I mean, at the other end of it, like if you're talking about it right now too, is the Arrows have to cross the border 8 times a year and they played a full season down in the United States, right? So I mean, as Doug illustrated with his violin,
the restrictions for Canadians coming over to the States,
I think, though,
players going over is a little different.
Yeah, it is a little
guys different. Coming from third party countries. I mean, just personally, I coming back from my honeymoon in London, we had a Canadian kid in front of us who went from Canada to London for a couple of days and then was coming back into New York. And he was hassled quite a bit on why you were kind of going around the horn for it. So I'm just saying, like, you know, we see that from third party countries going, you know, trying to cross.
And that's going to be the challenge, right? It's not necessarily for the players, right? They're part of a world event. It's more for fans, right? It's more the fan issue.
I think, right? I do agree with that too. I think especially for the players, like if you're hosting a World Cup, like a massive international event that let's say a minimum 9 years of planning, I don't think visas are going to be an issue for going across the border for players to play games. If that was the case, like, I don't think that necessarily means that I don't think that's an issue if you're determining if a game is going to happen in Canada or not.
Right.
Because it's like, you know, you got like 9 years to plan this. Right. So I think like you would have the time, the unions would have time to get everything sorted out for their players and stuff, especially if, as Scott suggested, you play like the Canadian pool games in Canada. Then when did they announce the pools? Like they announced the pools for the World Cup, like what, 2 years ago already, even for like this upcoming World Cup.
Yeah, because they'll tell you where America's one is and America's two is. Yeah.
So you know who you're in a pool with. So you're going to have the time to do that. As Doug said, though, hopefully the world's changed a little bit by the time 2031 rolls around too for travel restrictions and we get kind of back to normal. But I mean, who knows what's going to happen at this point, man. So
I think the next question should go to Doug, and this is going to get us taken off Facebook. Is COVID a hoax? No, I'm just messing around. No, Doug, seriously. So my question for you, you have kids, you have a wife, you're going to want to travel to these events. I mean, if it comes down to it.
The kids and the wife are coming, okay? Don't tell my wife I said that.
Okay, well, solo Dougie Wilkie. Girls, he's married. Don't go after him. But let's say he's coming to the States. Would you try to come for a couple of pool matches, or are you just going to try and go one and done? I'm just, for you as a fan, like, would you try and package it in a couple, like a week to see as much as you can, or because it's so close, you know?
Yeah, it's going to depend on where the games are and where the venues are and what cities they're playing in. But I mean, the sky's the limit on this one. I've got the 2 months off, and I could see myself going well across the Eastern Seaboard for sure.
And that's assuming the Eastern Seaboard really gets anything. You'd be surprised, you know? I mean, like right now, it was funny. We talk about this in our RPK that happens after this, and we talk about Langford, BC, and Glendale, Colorado being the two home bases, and talking about how sometimes USAR goes out to the West Coast, but they're never really holding anything on the East Coast ever as far as camps, and that's due to weather and a bunch of other crazy things. So I wonder how much love the East Coast is going to get for some of these matches, because if it's held in October, November.
Well, it's funny. I saw something posted just recently, and I apologize to fans. I forgot to source it, but they were talking about the article talked about top five stadiums that could host. SoFi Stadium in Englewood, California, Hard Rock in Miami. So little, you know, Southeast love there. MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, Soldier Field here in Chicago. And then the Big House in Michigan.
Oh, Scott's blue, baby.
Getting a big wood from that.
Dude, and yeah. let's give my wife some due. Happy Valley Beaver Stadium can definitely hold like 80,000 people, and they have a pitch, a space big enough to make a rugby pitch.
But it's a bitch getting in.
But you know what? It's one of those things. Like, I think it's one of those things that quintessential. If you want to show a foreign traveler like what college football is like, and it's not during college football season, go to Happy Valley where you have to, you know, stay in a hotel 3 hours away because all the hotels are booked in a 3 hour radius. It's
true. Crazy. Mr. New Yorkers love to ride the subway and public transportation to get to Hoboken and everywhere else New York plays. You can't play outside the city limits there.
Yeah. Listen, I don't take the subway. I drive 2 hours each way, bro. So
I know, but it was, you were just talking about, somebody was talking about playing in upstate, you know, further up north.
Oh yeah. They were talking, they were talking.
And you said, there's no public transportation. Well,
yeah. No, that's true. There's no public transportation there, but here's another interesting thing. And I brought this up as well. They played a college football game at Bristol Motor Speedway. And I think they have, I forgot what the stands, I think it's like 160,000 people at Bristol Motor Speedway, and they played the infield. That would be crazy. Imagine having 160,000 people.
I just did a really quick Google search. Apparently, the record attendance for a Rugby World Cup match is 82,957, mm-hmm. which was at Wembley Stadium during the 2015 yeah. World Cup. So, I mean, like, how many stadiums in the United States can you guys use to shatter that?
Oh, I mean, the Big House is 109,901.
Yeah. You know, yeah, exactly.
Right. Happy Valley is over 100,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Giant Stadium is 89.
The next question is what's the matchup that can get that done?
But that's what I'm saying. Do the final at Bristol Motor Speedway. The final would sell out 160,000 people, I would think.
Yeah. What is the seating like, though? Like,
how far? Bowl.
Is it a good bowl? Like a
decent. I think like because just like, had how wide the only track, right? Like
it's not that. I don't think it's not that wide. It's not that wide. It's
is a, Bristol a short track. Track? I'm trying.
Yeah,
to
I believe it's a short one of the shorter tracks. I think it's like Darlington short track style. But I just figure like, why not have it there? You know, because you can have the most amount of people and then really mess with everybody internationally and say, well, U.S. maybe didn't win the World Cup in 2031, but they broke the record by almost double.
Well, can't the Coliseum hold close to 90,000?
Yeah, I think they're up in the high 80s, but maybe low 90s. Yeah, but I mean, there's I think 12 stadiums that have a capacity over 100,000.
But let's face it, I think by that time the requirement's going to be have you know a Texas stadium or I don't know what it's called these days, but you know the Dallas Cowboys stadium type of jumbotron, you know, so that no matter where you are in your seat, you get a quality view of the game. You know, one of the things that needs to be considered with two pieces. Number one, I think they're going to require the venues to have grass turf, natural turf, but I also think dimensions are going to play a role. So it's interesting to see, you know, how many of these host cities might actually kind of push to somehow reconfigure some of the shorter NFL stadiums or even college stadiums that are used to, you know, accommodating American football. And like, you know, I've mentioned online, you know, the Chicago Bears have actually put in a bid at Arlington Heights, which is out here in the burbs, not too far away from me. And, you know, that'll be a state-of-the-art stadium if they can get it done by that time. You know, possibly retractable dome, natural turf. You know, they've already got the Fire that are playing at Soldier Field now, so they might consider, you know, making it a much bigger event, you know, pitch size so it can accommodate a lot of different types of sports. So that could be a real venue.
And here's the thing. Sorry, Derek, but you know, there's so many international fans saying a football field's so small. What they don't realize is when you push out to where all the players and the equipment are, that's all grass and turf. And then the end zones have an extra 10 yards behind them up to the wall. So, I mean, you can fit pitches in there. I just think because you're not seeing it as, you know, a field of play during football doesn't mean you can't fit them in there.
Well, the Soldier Field and in goal areas were smaller than usual when there's been.
Does it meet the minimum requirement?
This is why you guys need CFL dimensions. Solves all that.
First of all, like, there's 18 guys on the field on each. You can run before the snap. It doesn't CFL doesn't.
Hey, our balls are bigger. All right, that's all.
The balls are bigger, so they can catch him easier as the guy's running from 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage to fly past somebody. But no, I think people don't realize that those can become playable areas, and you can fit, you know, certain dimensions in there.
And it's not happening next week. Like,
right.
You know? And I think people are just hating on the fact that we got it. You know?
Well, I mean, even if there is an NFL team that doesn't have the space to expand their stadium to fit a full-sized world rugby pitch, you guys got another 7,000 stadiums that you can play in anyway. So I don't really – which is also like going back to, I believe, Rob's point earlier. It's like if there's any country that has the infrastructure to host any sporting event in the world by themselves.
I mean, we're still using our Olympic venues from every time we've hosted the Olympics. And what we see worldwide is we see some of these other countries create these Olympic venues and then they go to waste and they're never used again. We're still using LA Coliseum. We're still using it. We're still using the stuff in Atlanta. So we're still using Lake Placid Ice Arena.
And we have a soccer World Cup in 2026. Yes. So, you know, I mean,
and another Olympics too. No.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot like, you guys are going to be fine stadium wise.
Yeah, we'll have a good run.
Least of the problems with American hosting of a Rugby World Cup. I feel like the stadium is probably the least of your worries at this point.
Absolutely. I think
my only worry is if Doug Wilkie's retired and he can join me for 6 weeks in the
stadium. Why do you keep saying he's retired? Doug's like a 27 year old man.
Why aren't you inviting him?
Dougie, how old are you?
42.
Yeah, okay. All right. I got some time. I got 9 years on you.
Old timer.
Yeah, no, I'll still have a few years left. But
yeah, Rob will be a pensioner.
It doesn't matter. I'll still be able to travel.
And a happy one at that.
Yeah, and no love for Derek.
I was going to say, Derek,
dude, you guys are young bucks.
That doesn't mean I don't want to go to the Rugby World Cup.
You're welcome to come down. Get off the time. You're welcome to come down. If we have it in Chicago, my house is open.
All right, I'll hold you to that 9 years from now.
100%. Before we get to our RPK with Cole Keith, very excited to continue our episode of All Canadians All the Time. But before we get to that RPK episode, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors.
With over 37 years of experience, American Rugby Outfitters have been dedicated to providing quality rugby gear to those who like to get dirty. The ARO team prides itself in delivering the highest quality rugby gear that will withstand the punishment rugby dishes out. Brands such as Adidas, Barbarian, Gilbert, Canterbury, and Protech will deliver when the game gets tough. Whether you need team uniforms, boots, bags, field equipment, or swag for the Postmaster Social, ARO is your source for quality rugby gear. They can set up your club or business with a team store like they did for us to ensure every member looks as good as the pros. If the international game is your vibe, ARO will carry you across the line with officially licensed gear from the Eagles, Springboks, All Blacks, England, Ireland, and Wales, amongst others. Visit rugbygear.com and check out all that the folks from American Rugby Outfitters have to offer. Use the code RANT15 to get a 15% discount site-wide. As an added bonus, when the items in your cart are $100 or more, you get free shipping to anywhere in the continental United States. Don't forget to check out our line of Rugby Rant gear available exclusively at rugbygear.com. Don't forget to use RANT15 to get 15% off your order site-wide. American Rugby Outfitters, dedicated to the toughest demands in the world's toughest game.
And welcome back to the Run, Pass, or Kick segment of this episode. Episode 95, fans, if we didn't tell you in the previous segments. And with us today, one of our favorite Arrows members, Cole Keith. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott. How's it going? Happy to be on.
Doing well, man. You know, I got to be honest, I don't get to do the RPKs much. And recently I've been getting in on them a little more and more. So I'm very excited. Real quick, born in St. John, New Brunswick. Let's list off some club teams here. Belle Isle Rovers, Atlantic Rock. Then we can get into his Rugby Canada career. Rugby Canada under 20s, Canada A. Canada senior team. The first cap was against Chile, 24 caps with Rugby Canada senior team. And 30 appearances with Toronto Arrows. And you were also named Rugby Canada's Young Player of the Year in 2017. Man, that's like, you know, a hell of a resume right there.
You make my head kind of blow up here. I don't get to hear that too often. So, thanks.
Yeah. Hey, listen, again, it's real cool to have guys like you on who you know, grew up playing rugby in North America. I, you know, we're a North American show here. We don't just focus on USA. We focus on Rugby Canada and USA, focus on all different codes. And it's just great to see, you know, your history of playing rugby and working your way through to get to the senior team cap. And it's, this is what we like. We like having our national team players on here. So real quick, the first, if you guys actually haven't seen an RPK, what we do is we're going to preface Cole with a run, pass, or kick before every question. And what that means is he's going to say, let's say he decides to run with a question. He's going to answer that question. You know, let's be honest. Everybody likes to run with the ball. If he thinks the question's too hot, the pass has come out of him too quick, he could pass on it, right? Don't worry. No harm, no foul. Don't have to answer. Or if he's feeling a little cheeky, he can kick that ball back to me, and then I'm going to answer the question how I think he would answer. And then we can have fun to see whether or not I was, you know, close with the answer if my answer was shit. So we're going to find out. Cole, you ready for the RPK challenge?
Can't wait. Let's go.
Awesome. So this first one, of course, our buddy Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. Oh, the first ones are always good. So imagine that you've been invited to the Oscars by fellow Canadian Seth Rogen. Run, pass, or kick? As you roll up to the red carpet, would this be your vibe with Seth Rogen?
Yeah, I'll run with that. Yeah, that's definitely my vibe with Seth Rogen, I think. You know, pretty funny guy. That's an old, kind of dug into the archives there for that photo. So I didn't know that was still hovering around the internet, to be honest with you. So,
He's going to go clean all of his social media. Yeah, our buddy Rob. Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. Yeah, he gets in there. He gets a deep dive into a lot of guys' social medias, and we pick some photos, and some of the guys are like, "Whoa, I don't even remember." You know, I remember doing the photo. He goes, "I don't remember putting it on Facebook," and I'm like, "Well, it's there." But yeah, you know what? You have a good look in there. I'm gonna go back to the picture real quick. You know,
yeah,
Letterkenny before Letterkenny. You know what I mean?
But funny enough, that was actually at a rugby camp when I was with the Atlantic Rock team.
Awesome.
We'll say we were 19. I'm pretty sure we were. So yeah. that's the legal age in Canada as well. So we're covered on those bases. But yeah, me and Seth, geez, we kind of geared up like that. We'd have a great night on the town.
That's awesome. Speaking of night outs on the town, you and my wife have something in common.
Oh,
you guys both have a birthday of May 7th. Run, pass, or kick. How'd you celebrate?
Yeah, I'll run with that one too. It was actually the night before we played New York, I believe it was last week. Yeah, just not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Me and a few of the boys just chilled and didn't really get up to much. And I had a cheeky piece of cheesecake with them. That was about it. So
that's awesome. Listen,
yeah,
it's, you know, you got to prepare for game day. New York's coming to town. You're in a dogfight for that third place, you know, and at that point it was really up in the air. You know, you were close to New York at the time. New York hadn't moved up into second place. So obviously, stone cold professional you are, you're not going out partying, you know, on your birthday the night before a match. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. Just, you know, got a few extra, you know, calories, carbs in there for the energy, you know, for the
absolutely.
Day. So
that's cheesecake. That's big guy's a big fan of the cheesecake, if you couldn't tell by the physique.
Me too, by the looks of me. So
me and my wife took my wife out to a nice dinner right on the Hudson River. Again, we're fans of dessert. She had a German chocolate cake. I had a creme brulee because I'm fancy like that. It was a good night. It was good in New York. I tell you, the weather was gorgeous for us. So it was nice to just hang out by the river and, you know, have one of those quiet things, man. I'm old. I don't need any of that, you know, partying all night long. That's just,
those days are behind you.
Yeah, dude, we were in bed by like 9:30, woke up Sunday all refreshed, you know, time nice. To do yard work, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. So we'll move on to the next question. So the Toronto Arrows played the 2021 season entirely in the United States, making their temporary home in Marietta, Georgia. Run, pass, or kick? How excited were the boys to return to their home grounds at York Lions Stadium against Rugby ATL this year?
Yeah, I mean, everybody was super excited, I think. Yeah, the year on the road last year, not going to sugarcoat it, you know, wasn't that fun.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that great of a season. Yeah, I mean, everybody kind of had that one game kind of circled on their calendar. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was awesome. Everybody, you know, just having, you know, the fans cheering for you instead of against you. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. It was great to finally get a game back up here in Toronto, and everybody loved it. So
Yeah, I mean, all my friends, all my Arrow friends were excited, all the fans, Doug Wilkie, Karen Gasparino, Derek Brissett, Doug and Derek, you guys have seen just before on the previous rant segment. They were on the rant segment with us. Our buddy Kyle Ferguson at Verzio Wellness, he's a big Arrows fan. So I was excited about their excitement, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where that was one I caught on the replay. I think it was the same time as the Rooney match, but the intensity that on the field and coming from the fans of finally getting that home game after, you know, the entire season away. I mean, I'm sure it was just magical for you guys. It was magical for your family who were there. You know, and I gotta be honest, the toughest thing, we saw guys who decided not to play in 2021 because they knew that they couldn't make it work, you know, in the States, and good on them, because you know what, if you know you're not going to make it work, right, do what you need to do, you know, and the things will change. And then guess what, 2022, you're back up in Toronto. It was nice to see. I gotta be honest though, I wanted to go down to Georgia to catch a doubleheader, you know, ATL and you guys play, and I didn't get down there. And I think that's one of my biggest regrets, is to just say I went down there and caught, you know, a doubleheader. For, because, you know, in 10 years from now, we're going to be talking about like, oh, 2020, you know, was five matches and we had to stop. And then we came in 2021. And could you believe Toronto played the, you know, the entire season in the United States? And people aren't going to believe it. You know, we're going to have little kids, you know, who, you know, are 10 years old watching the MLR. And we're going to be like, no, you don't understand. Toronto didn't play in Canada for an entire season, you know, and it's crazy.
Yeah, we were actually joking about that today. A few of us that, you know, in 20 years time, there's going to be an E60. You know,
but I'm telling you,
or 30 for 30. And we were just kind of going over all the crazy things that, you know, that happened throughout the year and just having a laugh about it. But yeah, we were like, you know, 20 years, we might be getting a call from ESPN here to do a little segment.
Be surprised, man.
And we could make a 4-hour long documentary on some of the stuff that happened there. It would have to be longer than 60 minutes. So
they do a special. Every time they hit the, you know, the next 5-year, the next 10-year anniversary of this event, you're a hockey fan. New Jersey Devils played in a snowstorm. 300 fans showed up to the arena, and they took down the names of all 300 fans. And every year on the date, they all still get together.
That's awesome.
It's crazy. And yeah, wow. ESPN, like, you know, it has to be 20, 25 years since the game. And the ESPN does something for them every 5 and 10 year anniversary of it. And they had a night for him, you know, 10 years later, and they all got 10 year jerseys, and it was crazy. And that's the type awesome. Of stuff. But those are the stories that are what is going to make the lore in the MLR. You know, you have all those stories that you know from other leagues. And this is one of those things that just, I think, broadens what we are about here. And, you know, it wasn't ideal, but we got the rugby played. You know what I mean? And I think that's the moral of the story, of your guys' resilience to come down here and play rugby. So talking about your 5 months in Marietta, run, pass, or kick, what was your biggest challenge personally living in Marietta?
I would say probably just being away from friends and family and living in a hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, not the hotel ideal. Was awesome for the first 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, no, then, not ideal whatsoever.
But it got old pretty quick. So yeah, I would say, yeah, kind of being away from, you know, your loved ones and people that you see on a regular basis, and then living in a hotel is a close second for, 4 or 5 months there. So those are probably the biggest challenges. Other than that, the Atlanta organization was great to us. They gave us pretty much full rein on their facilities and,
nice.
And where they trained at and stuff like that, and their catering companies and all that stuff. So the rugby part of it wasn't, you know, as challenging as it probably could have been. Thanks to them. But yeah, just, you know, being away and not really having an escape, I guess, at the end of the day, because you're just back at the hotel and everybody had roommates and that was it pretty much. So a lot of cards got played.
Gonna follow up. Run, pass, or kick. Who are your roommates?
I just had one. Why not, actually. He's okay. In San Diego this year.
Yeah.
We roomed together. We both enjoy golfing a fair bit as well. So
really?
It was nice to get down there. We could play golf in March when we got there and didn't have to wait till, you know, the end of May like we would in Canada. So me and Pat, we were roomies the whole time.
That's interesting. There's so many players in the MLR that are big golf fans and they play a lot of golf. I think it's interesting. A lot of the New York guys, you know, Dylan Fawcett, Jason Emery, Brendan O'Connor. I mean, they're on their bye week, they went on a golfing trip and like half of them went, you know, together to just golf around New York. And it was freaking cool. It's interesting. Yeah. I guess maybe it's just because it's a little more technical and laid back. Like, why do you think you gravitate towards golf?
Yeah, just the social game, I guess. I played when I was younger, kind of since I was a junior, I guess you could say, and just kind of stuck with it all the way through. And it's just a great way to get out there and, you know, blow some steam and then hang out with the boys and, you know, have a little banter as well. You know, there's a few of us that are all about that. So it's just a fun game. I don't know. I just love it. The golf bug has definitely bit me, and it's bitten Andrew Quatrin as well. He went all out last year. When he found out that there was a little crew of three or four of us, he went all in and he dropped some money on some new stuff when he was there. So the bugs got him as well.
Oh, that's great. I'm terrible at golf. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll go out and play with my buddies. My buddies are very good at it. I got to buy at least 30 or 40 balls for a round. But next time you guys come to New York for a match, although I know you guys have limited time, go to Queens next to Citi Field. There's a pitch and putt, you know, like a three-par golf course. Yeah.
Love that.
I think the last tee times at like midnight or 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, you know, after the match, you guys don't know what to do. Go to Citi Field.
Right to the pitch.
Yeah. It's literally awesome, right to Citi Field. Yeah. It's not that far. You can take an Uber there. Mm. So we talked about 2021, the challenges of that season, you know, playing in the States. Our last question here before we end the show here is we're actually going back to 2020. You know, the truncated season, only 5 weeks of that season. And, you know, got to be honest, Toronto was on a run there up until that last match. And you know, that last match against Glendale, let's be honest, it was Glendale's last match in the MLR. And I think when you have that kind of juice, you're just fated. You know, no offense to you guys. Glendale was fated to win that match. And it was a tight one. I think they won at the death. So anyway, the question is run, pass, or kick. Given that the team was in a bubble, in 2020, you know, we were all on lockdown and things like that. What was the popular way to pass the time because you weren't focused on rugby?
I'll kick that back to you. I'd like to hear what you, your thoughts are, what you think, I guess.
Well, you know, so for us in New York, it was March 15th was the day. The reason I know that was the day, it was a Saturday, and that was going to be the Rooney's first home match of the season. So I remember that, you know, St. Paddy's was a couple days later. I would think as a Canadian, it's March. You can't do anything. So I would assume you were just doing a lot of outdoor activities. I know it was probably still a little cold up there, but I mean, you know, a nice, you know, hiking, walking around, just kind of being outside if you could. I don't know what kind of lockdown you guys had. I know Canadian lockdown was a little stricter.
Yeah.
New York lockdown, I still had to go to work. I work in a medical facility, so I was out and about. My wife just had to stay home from work, but she could walk around the house. We kind of live in the woods, you know, nobody's around. Where were you living? So that's what I need to ask.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to give me a town, but just like suburb city, you know.
Actually, when it happened, when we got the call, we were on our bye week because we had a week off after that, the Glendale game.
Oh, really?
And I was just back home for the week, spending my time there. And we got this call and it was like, there's this, you know, virus going around and yada, yada, yada. We're going to, you know, the league's going to be suspended for 30 days is what we heard. And then everybody's like, okay, like whatever, you know, a little extra time off. Nobody was too upset about it at the start. Cause I think, we were just going to spend another week and then start training again. And then about 3 days later, we just got the actual call saying that the season was canceled. I was just at home, and I know some guys were away on vacations and everybody still had all their stuff in Toronto and this and that. And it was pretty hectic, of a time, but I guess to kind of pass the time, I was just, I was home the whole time, played a lot of golf. You know, I know we've already spoken about that because in New Brunswick, they just kind of shut the borders down. So
really,
anybody, even from Canada, to come into the province, it was a 2 week quarantine.
Wow.
So they were pretty good. It didn't really get too bad there, you know, for a while, like only a few hundred cases for a long time. And yeah, just enjoyed the summer and play golf and hung out with friends and family and just kind of passed the time like that. It wasn't too overwhelming, I should say, for the most part. I mean, obviously the lockdowns at the beginning of it was, you know, tough, not being able to leave, leave the house. But after that, it was only probably a month, maybe 3 weeks of strict lockdown. And then it was fairly back to normal. So
now I know they have, you guys have, who's the hockey team up there? The Sea Dogs?
The St. John Sea Dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's Quebec Major Juniors, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm assuming by March, they were probably canceling the season, right?
I think so. Yeah. I think pretty much everything happened within a week.
Yeah, it was probably the end of their season.
University sports or the college sports and stuff, they kind of got shut down or postponed. And, you know, my beer league hockey team that I play in when I'm at home every now and then, you know, they didn't get to play the finals that year. I think everything within that 2 or 3 day span just kind of, you know, hit the fan and then it was gone. So
that's crazy. And just like that, unfortunately, rugby was gone in 2020.
Yeah.
But you know what? We survived the lockdown. You survived five matches in 2020. You survived the lockdown. You survived playing an entire season in the United States away from your family. And now we're back in 2022 and you guys are fighting for a playoff spot. It's friggin' great to hear. Again, when I think of the Toronto Arrows, I think the resilience of the team, the resilience of the organization, the resilience of the fans to stand behind you no matter what. I know there was games where you guys were wearing your club socks. That was friggin' cool. I got to be quite honest. I thought that was great. And the fans were sending, you know, packages and things like that. I heard to some of the guys and, you know, it's hard, but guess what? Rugby's a game of attrition, right? So,
yeah,
you know, I think you guys are best suited for having to augment what was going on and play through it.
Yeah, definitely. We got, kind of touching on the club thing there. Most clubs kind of, or the Arrows reached out and got little care packages almost from their home clubs, you know, the socks and hats and shirts and various other little things, coffee mugs with the clubs on them and stuff. And just little things like that almost kind of remind you that, you know, all the people back home are pulling for you and still want to see you succeed down there. And, you know, it was nice to not just be down there stuck in a hotel and knowing that, you know, that people are watching and still supporting us. So.
No, it's awesome to hear. Love my fellow Arrow fans. You know, I love every fan in Major League Rugby, and I think the Arrow fans just, again, show you what the sport is about, rugby is all about. And fans, if you wanted to watch the rest of this great RPK, I mean, I've added a whole bunch of questions that Rob didn't ask, and we kind of went away from the run, pass, or kick, but that's okay. You know, I like to freestyle a little bit. I love talking about guys and their personal experience within Major League Rugby. But if you guys want to watch the rest of this episode of the RPK, you go to patreon.com/rugbyrantpod. And only for $3 a month, you get to see both segments of the rant and an entire RPK, which also includes our quick cap segment. So remember, go to patreon.com/rugbyrantpod to see all the action. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara, for Cole Keith, for Rob Hammerschmidt and Ty Braga, who couldn't be here. Thank you so much. And episode 95 is done and dusted, baby.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Restrictions apply. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.